for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday morning, July the 5th, 2011. Cheryl Batts is the speaker of this service teaching on Meet Me at the Well.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm so happy to be here this morning. I'm glad that God has given me a word for His people, which is beyond denomination and gender. For this is a year of new beginnings. I don't know if you know it, but you know we are the most valuable and precious commodity in the world to God. For no other reason did Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Savior, come. No other reason. But for you to be able to drink from the fountain of life and spend eternity with Him. Let's pray. Father God, I just give you the praise and the glory and the honor. I thank you for this opportunity, O God, to come before your people, but I take it not easily. Father, I pray this morning that you will increase and I decrease, Father God. You said in your word that if I open my mouth that you would fill it. Father, your people have been fed this week. They've been given the word, Father God. They've been given revelation and understanding. They have received deliverance. They have been set free in many areas of their life. But God, today is a word, Father God, that I believe that you have given me, that I believe, Father God, will take them to another level. So God, I shut up. And I open my heart to receive what it is that you have for me. Not just what's on the paper, but what you have for me to share with these your people. I give you glory. I give you honor. I thank you, God, for there is none like you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we just stand on your word. Amen. Today we're going to talk about, talk in the book of John 4. Verses 1 through 14. It was really funny last night. Patty said that they had looked at everything. It was all women ministering today. Well, I sat there and thought, oops. It isn't just like God to give me a message that sounds like it's for women, but it's for everybody. Today we're going to talk about Meet Me at the Well. Or better yet, What's in Your Bucket? Now, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. So just go along with me. We'll get to the same place at the same time. Amen? Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John, though Jesus himself didn't baptize him. Jesus baptized them. His disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus saw her, said to her, "Please, give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift of God that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a bucket," she said. "And this well, it's very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, Do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Now let us focus on verse 14. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Last night as we discovered that women were going to minister, I thought about today being a great day to honor women. It is a day that we have never seen before. Here are a few women that I found in the Bible that I thought you might be reminded of. Have you ever noticed how many women are first? How about Deborah? Now, Deborah was a judge and a prophetess, the wife or woman of Lepidus. Now, Jabin, the king of Hazar, had for 20 years held Israel in degrading subjection. The spirit of patriotism seemed crushed out of the nation. In this emergency, Deborah roused the people. Her fame spread far and wide. She became a mother in Israel. This is talked about in Judges 4 and 6, 14, 5 and 7. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment, as she sat in her tent under the palm tree between Ramah and Bethel. Preparations were being made everywhere for her direction, for the great effort to throw off the yoke of bondage. She summoned Barak from Kadesh to take command of 10,000 men of Zebulun and Naphtali and led them to Mount Tabor on the plain of Ashkelon at its northeast end. It is said in Scripture that Deborah let Barak know that God had told him to go in and he would give him the victory. However, in Judges 4 and 8, Barak told her if she went, he would go. If not, he would not. He lost the victory to Jael, meaning mountain goat. The wife of Heber, the Canaanite, Judges 4, 17, 22 talks about her. This was a Canaanite. And when they were defeated by Barak, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, fled and sought refuge with the friendly tribe of Heber beneath the oaks of Zananim. A note. The women of this tribe considered it housework to put up and take down the tents. These women grew strong from their housework. As he drew near, Jael invited him to enter her tent. So, men, you got to watch whose tent you enter. He did so. And as he laid weary on the floor, he fell into a deep sleep. She then took in her left hand one of the great wooden spikes, which fastened down the cords of the tent, and in her right hand the mallet or the hammer, and used it for driving it into the ground, and she kind of creeped up on him, didn't want to wake him up. With one directed blow, she nailed it through his temple and nailed him to the earth. She then led Barak, who was in hot pursuit of Sisera, into her tent and boastfully showed him what she has done. How about Mary, who was the wife of Joseph and the mother of Jesus Christ, who was conceived within her by the Holy Spirit when she was a virgin? This had never been done before and has never been done again. I don't care what the magazine says. She was the first and the last to be known for a virgin birth. Ruth, meaning a friend, was a Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, whose father, Elimelech, had settled in the land of Moab. Now, I did a study some time ago, and the Moabites had Asian features. On the death of Elimelech and Mahlon, Naomi came with Ruth, her daughter-in-law, who refused to leave her, to Bethlehem, the old home from which Elimelech had migrated. There, she had a rich relative, Boaz, to whom Ruth was eventually married. She became the mother of Obed, the grandfather of David. Thus, Ruth, a Gentile, is among the maternal ancestors of our Lord, the first of her kind. writing down what she found at the well. Unselfishness, brave love, unshaking trustfulness, even though not of the chosen race, like the other Canaanites, Tamar and Rahab, a harlot, were privileged to become ancestors of David and so of great David's greater son. Now, how about the five that we know about in the New Testament? Joanna, Susanna, Mary, wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene, who all ministered to the Lord. They took their chances. They were the first in their families to leave and travel on the road with the rabbi, the first to sit at the feet of this rabbi and be taught. And they were the first to run back and tell the men, "He is risen." Our heroine today, she got up that morning and went to the well for water. Little did she know that her life was about to change. There was a new beginning on the horizon for her. Verse 4 says that Jesus had to, ide, go through Samaria. The use of ide, had to, makes it clear that this was a divine appointment. Point 1, don't miss your divine appointment at the well. It was not geographically necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria, and Jewish travelers normally traveled around Samaria. Jesus and his disciples entered a Samaritan village, and the disciples went to buy food, while Jesus sat by the well because he was tired. Now, this woman from the nearby village of Sychar came for water. In John's gospel, the Samaritan woman at the well is the first person to whom Jesus openly reveals himself to as the Messiah. Point 2, God will reveal himself to you at the well. The pious leader, Nicodemus, did not hear the words that Jesus tells this foreign woman when she states her belief in the coming Messiah. "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." John 4 and 26. This is also the longest private conversation Jesus had with anyone in the New Testament. Point 3, whatever is said at the well stays at the well. Jesus did something that was a cultural taboo. He spoke to a woman in public, and not just a woman, but a Samaritan woman. She was twice an outcast in Jewish thought. Jesus asked her for a drink of water. She was understandably shocked. A Jewish man was speaking to her, a Samaritan woman. He also should not have wanted to share a vessel with her for drinking water, since it would be considered unclean. This is another first. She was right to be confused. But our heroine may not have realized that the reason for being at the well is to break all taboos so that the universal love of the gospel can be shown, not just theorized. Point 4, the curse will be broken at the well. It is not taboo to be a beautiful woman with insight and ask questions. The conversation then turned to a discussion of living water versus the water in the well. At this point, many commentators say that the woman did not have the ability to engage Jesus in serious theological conversation. Because she was a woman, she did not have the intelligence to keep up with the conversation. That is why she was confused about the living water Jesus offered. But the woman was no more confused over living water than Nicodemus was over being born from above in the previous chapter, John 3, 4, 9 through 10. The woman was not confused because she was a woman, just as Nicodemus was not confused simply because he was a man. Both of them were confused because Jesus was introducing them to new spiritual truths. Nicodemus never quite gets what Jesus was telling him in John 3. Yet the Samaritan woman did come to understand who Jesus was and what he was telling her. Although the woman still wasn't sure what this living water was, she wanted it. Point 5. When we meet at the well, We discover spiritual truths about God that we have never known before. When Jesus told her to go get a husband, we find out that this woman has had 5 husbands and was now living with a man who was not her husband. Now, many have jumped to the conclusion that she was an immoral woman who had been divorced 5 times. Yet John 4 never says she was divorced. There are at least 2 other possible reasons why this woman has had 5 husbands. One possibility is that she was unable to have children. The biblical language is she was barren. In a culture that placed supreme importance on having children, especially sons, barrenness was solid ground for divorce. So it is possible that the men had married her, then found out that she couldn't have children, so divorced her to marry more fertile women. Now, she could also have been trapped by the Levite marriage law. Her 5 husbands could have been brothers for whom she was supposed to produce an heir. It talks about that in Matthew 22:24-28. Now, either the family ran out of sons, or the next son could have refused to marry her. That she was living with a man now who was not her husband could have been the lesser of 2 evils. Selah. Since the culture provided economic security only within family structures, her only other choice after husband number 5 died or divorced could have been prostitution. Regardless as to why the woman had 5 husbands, the implication is still that she is a woman who cannot keep a man. Work with me now. Everything ain't hollering, you know. After Jesus told the woman about her life, she knew he was a prophet. Point 6. At the well, truth is revealed about ourselves. Who we are. Our shortcomings. Our secret sins. The real reasons why we do what we do. It is what it is when we meet at the well. It is what it is. Truth is presented in a way that you can handle at the well. Yes. The new spiritual truths are water to a thirsty soul. Again, many downplay the woman's ability by saying that her next question concerning the proper place of worship is a ploy to draw attention away from her supposed immoral life. What is not acknowledged is that the woman asked what is probably the most pressing question for the first century Samaritans. Where is the proper place to worship? The Samaritans, you know, were descended from the Israelite people who had not been deported from the Assyrians when the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom and then imported other peoples into the region. They continued to worship Yahweh, but also allowed the worship of other gods from the resettled peoples in their homeland. Now, Alexander the Great allowed the Samaritans to build or renovate a Samaritan temple at Mount Gerizim. This became a point of contention to the Jews who had returned and rebuilt Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. Tensions continued to degrade until the temple at Mount Gerizim was destroyed by the Jews in 128 B.C. Both groups believed that they were worshiping Yahweh, and both believed that they had the right place to worship Yahweh. The woman had met a prophet, someone who knew what had happened in her life, and one she was sure who could answer the most pressing theological question of her heart and the time. Point 7. When we meet him at the well, the answers we receive are not to the questions that we ask with our lips, but those that are in our hearts. Jesus did not accuse her of changing the subject. He answered her question. It did not matter where one worshiped God. It was how God was worshiped. There would no longer be limitations of geography in worshiping God. For God is a spirit, and he will be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Point 8. When we meet at the well, we understand things by and in the Spirit. Our joy and understanding are heightened more than we have ever known. we lose ourselves and begin to worship the one who meets us there with abandonment, because we know we can trust him. We can feel his presence. He has touched us in places that no one else can, all at the well. The woman stated her belief in the coming Messiah, who would reveal all things to them. Jesus then revealed something to this unnamed foreign woman that he did not reveal to Nicodemus. I am the one who is speaking to you. The Samaritan woman was the first person to whom Jesus revealed himself as Messiah in the Gospel of John. And this is the first I am statement in the Gospel spoken by the well. Point 9. He is what you need him to be at the well. He is the great I am. He is the only one that can have a two-word sentence and make it mean something. I am Jehovah Shalom. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am your rest. I am your grace. I am able. I am the bright and morning star. Revelation 2 and 16. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. I am the deliverer. Oh, I am the eternal God. I am Jehovah Teshkenu. I am the high and breasty one. I am that I am will meet you at the well. What's in your bucket that you need to drop into the well? Hallelujah. Why did Jesus reveal himself to this woman and not to Nicodemus? The woman was not expecting a political Messiah. The Samaritans were looking for the tape or restorer. The Samaritans were not looking for a political Messiah from the line of David. They were looking for a prophet like Moses who would restore the observance of the law of Moses as it should be. Jesus could reveal himself as Messiah to her without worrying about political misunderstandings that would have arisen in Judea. My last point, point 10. At the well, there are no preconceived ideas. He doesn't need you to be smart. He doesn't need you to have a degree. He doesn't need you to be able to read off scriptures 20, 40, and 50 at a time. All he needs you to be is open to listen. He speaks to you right where you are at the well. The disciples returned with food, scratching their heads and wondering why Jesus is speaking to a foreign woman in public. This was the last barrier. You will notice, though, that the disciples did not this time ask him what he was doing. By now, they were beginning to get the revelation that this rabbi was teaching a universal love that would stand the sands of time. Then the woman went to her people and said, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done." He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Oh, yes, she was smart. She asked a question. She stirred their appetite. She positioned them to hear what he was going to say. You all know whoever asked the questions is really in charge. She was smart. She was beautiful. She was resourceful. She became the first evangelist in the Gospel of John. She went and told her people about Jesus and brought them to him so they could see and hear for themselves. Jesus never approached people randomly or casually, but as possible bearers of witness to him to whole populations. A foreign single woman who had had five husbands and was now living with a man who was not her husband was the first one Jesus chose to bring a town in Samaria to him so they could say, "We have heard for ourselves and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." We can know assuredly that when you hear someone say, after being perplexed by the multiplicities and the vicissitudes of life, "Oh well, that's your cue. Take them to the well." Isaiah 12:3, NIV says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Psalms 36:9 says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Ah, at the well is joy and healing. At the well we learn faith, trust, and the love of God. At the well we are cleansed by the fountain of living waters of our pain and rejection. Revelation 7:17 says, he will lead them to the springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Nervous habits, insecurities about being a woman, deliverance from cultural upbringing that leads many times to Jezebelic characteristics, which are based on the fear of man, fear of authority, fear of what they have done, fear, fear, fear. And it can cause us to be these things. Go to the well and find your first love. And he will cover you and heal you. Everything that you need is at the well. Salvation, your deliverance from embarrassment and pride and shame and guilt and condemnation, double-mindedness, being unreliable, frustrated, indecisive, mixed up, confused, full of procrastination, mind control, addiction, insecurity, inferiority, self-pity, loneliness, sensitiveness, self-awareness, fear of man and disapproval, arrested development. Meet me at the well. Saints, make me at the well, and we'll begin to bubble up out of our belly like living waters. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment I condemn. I am established in righteousness, and oppression is far from me. I take the shield of faith, and I quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Colossians 1:13, I'm delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, I do not have a spirit of fear, but that of power, love, and a sound mind. Oh, meet me at the well. Meet me at the well, for the God of God who loves you, Jesus Lord, the King of Kings. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is Christ the Lord, our deliverer. He is the eternal God. He is the great I am. Our praise to him should be hallelujah. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Jehovah Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Oh, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the Mighty One. There is no other God beside him. If you will go to the well, drop your bucket in with all your issues and drop it in and let God sweep away with the water of his love. Oh, and the sweet spirit of a salvation, and you will be healed and delivered.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jane. Jane. Hallelujah. 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 When I minister, I usually minister mass deliverance. Deliverance to me is very unique, because mass deliverance means what has happened is, today is Wednesday. If you've been here since Saturday or Sunday, you already stirred up. You already been receiving something. So mass deliverance to me is that you already know how to receive. So if I'm calling it, you get your bucket. And when you hear that, you put it in the bucket. You put yours in the bucket. Don't worry about who's sitting next to them and whether they're going to put theirs in the bucket. Because see, when you get to heaven, it's not going to be about what did your girlfriend have in her bucket. You need to know what was in your bucket. So when you hear it, you put your stuff in your bucket. And then you go to the well. And if you need some help, one of the ministers will come and help you get your bucket up over the top and drop it into the well. But don't go home with your issues. Because somebody won't pray with you one-on-one. See, this is the time for you to figure out, did I really get what they've been telling me all week? Do I know how to receive from God? Because see, you got to receive from God when you leave here by yourself. Do you realize the word of God says that my arm is not so short you're not at Lake Hamilton don't mean that God can't deliver you. He will deliver you in your bedroom. That can be your well. He will deliver you in your living room. That might be your well. He can deliver you on your job. That might be your well. But see, you got to find where your well is. And you've got to get to the well. Jesus is at the well waiting. Waiting to deliver you, to love you, to heal you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the deliverer. God, we love you. Here's a song. I don't know if everybody knows it, but if you do, it's very short. And I want, we're going to sing it. It's in the presence of Jehovah. Because see, that's what happens when you go to the well. And if you think about the words that you're singing, you know, sometimes people get all caught up because at their church, they don't sing songs like we sing here. Sometimes they're a little faster, a little tempo, a little different. But I found out something. It's not about the tempo, it's about the words. These same words are being sung across the nation today in very select communities and churches. They just add a little different flavor. But it's the same words. It's the same fight. The devil got my stuff. I want my stuff. I want my family. I want my son and my children to be free. I don't believe God set me free to be free by myself. Ain't no fun being free by yourself. I want to be free so I can set somebody else free. See, that's how you know you've been to the well a couple of times. Because you ain't selfish no more. You want to give up. You want to give up stuff. You go clean out your closet. You can't even have a rummage sale. Oh, just give it away to the potter's house or something. You can't even have a rummage sale unless you go get a money to somebody else. Because he wants you to trust him in this season and time. Brother Williams told us last night, we have to be so discerning. We've got to know that we know that we know that we know. And we cannot be afraid of change. We're going to have to change, folks. Change is already here. It ain't coming. It's here. Everything that we did last year, do you notice it don't work this year? It don't work. You know why it don't work? Because you ain't been to the well recently. When you go to the well, it's in his presence that he begins to tell you, I'm going to change some things. People get to, oh, praise God, hallelujah, he's going to change something. And all of a sudden it gets pretty hot in your house. Things get stirred up. Money gets short. Everything gets funny. You say, well, God, I thought you was changing something. He said, I am. I'm getting ready to teach you how to trust me on 10 instead of 15. You can't dictate to God how he gonna change things. When you joined this army, you said, I'm in. I'm in. I'm going all the way. I'm going to the finish line. And somewhere between here and the finish line, he gonna change you. And your mind and your heart, your will and your emotions has to be ready for it. And it ain't easy. Adam and Eve did not make it easy for us to change. It is very difficult to change. But change you will. Go to the well. Go to the well. And let him change you. Let him heal you. Let him touch you. Let him deliver you. The song says, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. And when you go to the will, you're in the presence of the King. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to be a little lower than that. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish. The presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended. In the presence of the King. Again, see Him at the well with you. In the presence of Jehovah. God Almighty. Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish. Hearts are mended. In the presence of the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, we wait for you. You are our Prince. You are the King of Kings. Troubles vanish. Hearts are mended.
Peace.
This morning we give you praise and glory and honor. We thank you for your presence. We feel you here right now. So Lord God, we take authority because you said whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and that whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So today, Lord God, we bind the spirit of fear. We bind the spirit of fear, fear that causes hiding, fear that causes us to confront issues, refusing to confess and deal with responsibilities. We bind those spirits of fear. We bind all spirits connected to allergies, all spirits connected to mayhem, all spirits related to fear. God, we take authority over and we bind the spirit of arrested development that won't let your people grow up and become mature men and women of God, unable to make wise decisions regarding relationships, finances, and jobs. Oh God, we just praise you in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of Balaam that causes people to curse themselves and to operate in the flesh instead of operating in the spirit of God, causing them to be dull in mind and spiritually unaware. They lack discernment in the things of God. Lord, we just thank you. We ask you to loose the sword of the Lord through the camp of the enemy in our hearts, in our souls, our minds, our wills, and our emotions, cutting asunder everything that is not like you. God, we loose the angels to go in and to pluck up the tares from the wheat of our hearts. It is our desire to have the mind of Christ and the heart of God. Help, O Lord, we cry out to you, for we know you are the deliverer. We know that you are the King of Kings, and it is in the name of Jesus that we come. Hallelujah. God, we bind self-righteousness and jealousy in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirits of pride and selfishness, idolatry and rebellion that won't let the people of God fast to praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. We bind self-righteousness and jealousy. We take over, that try to take over the spirits in ministry. God, we bind false prophecies spoken over the people of God that have caused them to shipwreck Jacob. We break the curses off of him now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, who is the spirit of prophecy. And we loose the word of God upon your people, for they are what the Bible says they are. They are above and not beneath, in the name of Jesus. And you shall tell them which way they're to go. But you said that we are your sheep and we shall know your voice. God, I pray right now, those listening and those here, that they will begin to know your voice. Make it clear to us, God, because our enemy seeks to steal, to kill, and destroy. We bind all false voices now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We come against spirits of depression, inward rage, anger, and murder in the name of Jesus. We cast down vain imaginations. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we want your mind, the mind of Christ, and the heart of God. We bind all mind blocking, mind hindering, mind binding spirits that won't let us think the way Jesus does. Oh, hallelujah. We bind denominational thinking. We bind that in the name of Jesus. And we loose the people of God into the freedom and liberty that Jesus Christ came, lived, died, hung on the cross, and rose again that we might have. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We bind spirits of witchcraft, religious domination, sexual perversity, incubus and succubus spirits that come in the night and make the men and women of God ashamed to say that they're having trouble with it. We curse you at the root in the name of Jesus. Oh, we bind the spirit of nightmares in Jesus' name. All attention-getting spirits, we bind you. Manipulation, control through sex, finances. I'm sick of spirits of entitlement. Because of all I've been through, I need this. We bind that spirit of me, myself, and I in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. We loose upon them the spirit of the living God. Come, Lord Jesus. Deliver your people in their minds, their will, and their emotions, God. It's by your spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. There's none like you, Lord. God, you don't need perfect. You need willing. You need us to be willing. Willing to take a chance on you. Willing to step out into the deep. Willing to move forward in the things of God. Willing to be the Green Beret in the army of God. Oh, God, we praise you. We give you glory and honor. Thank you, God, for all that you do for your people. There is none like you, Lord. Now, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we've come to the well this morning. And I pray that everyone has grabbed your bucket. You put everything in the bucket that you don't want. Everything in the bucket that's holding you down. Everything in the bucket that won't let you get to where you gotta go. Because when you're not where you want to go, it's not because God don't want you to get there. It's something in you. See, that's what you find out when you're in the pit and you're coming out. I'm in the pit. But God didn't throw me in the pit. He may let me stay in the pit. But he didn't throw me in the pit. There are different reasons for being in the pit. But God is good. God is good. He's good all the time. Father, I take authority over every spirit of doubt and unbelief in your greatness and your power. And we bind it in the name of Jesus. And we loose your word in Proverbs. It says that we have faith, hope, and trust in God, not in man, but in God. And we thank you for it. Thank you for being a father to the fatherless. Thank you for being Ish to single women, being our husband. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit
thank you for what Jesus did on the cross for us. That we can come to the well and expect to meet you any time, any day of the hour. We give you the praise, God, and the glory and the honor. Lord, we take authority over and we bind backlash and retaliation in Jesus' name that would come against anyone that came here today with the willingness and the open-mindedness to take their bucket to the well. We bind it in the name of Jesus. And we loose the promises of God, which are yea and amen in their lives, God. For you want good for us. Thank you, God. For I hear the word of the Lord saying, there has come a time when many will call out for me and they will not hear my voice. They will not hear my voice in the loudness of things, but I will be speaking to them in the quietness of the time. Seek my face while you can. Seek my face while it is day. Seek my face now. For I'm coming through the land, and as I begin to shift and as I begin to move things, I will position you to receive from me when no one else is receiving. But you have to be strong in me to even receive what it is that I'm going to give you. Because what I give you is more than what you can think or dream. What I give you is for nations. What I give you is for my people, the people of God. So go out. The harvest is ripe. And the laborers are few. Go out into the land, into the highways and the byways, and bring my people in. Oh, bring my people in, saith the Spirit of the Lord. For I hung, bled, and died for them. None is too small, none is too feeble, none is too unable to receive of me. They may not receive on the same level that you receive, but they receive of me because I am that I am that I am. And I place them here. Each one is beautiful unto me. I died for them. I love them. I did not die for ministry. I did not die for the glitz and the glamour of the world. I died for my people. And in the days to come, I will pour my love into your hearts, and you will hear my voice, and there will be a yearning on the inside of you, and there will be a crying on the inside of you, and you will travail for my people. You will travail for this nation. You will travail for this country. You will travail for those in leadership over you. You will travail whether you agree with their political mandate or not, because this is my world. I created it. I spoke it into existence. I am that I am that I am. And I will pour my spirit out. And you will pray. And you will intercede. And you will reach out beyond yourself. You will find strength to run through a troop and leap over a wall. But do my bidding. For the time is coming when my voice will not be heard. The time is coming when I will draw back. Because I've said in my word. That things shall happen, and I'm not a man that I should lie. Read my word and see the things that are going to happen. Prepare yourself, my children, for I am coming. You know neither the day nor the hour. Do not be like the five virgins. Do not be unprepared. Prepare yourself, prepare ye the way. I'm calling you unto myself. I'm calling you to meet me at the well. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to not receive me. I don't want you to not live with me in eternity. Come to the well. Let me prepare you for the change that is coming. Let me prepare you for the change that is coming. Let me prepare you for the change that is coming, says the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Giving praise over the house. Giving praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. We worship you, God. We thank you for your word, God. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all of the honor, God. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabba Sanda, Rabba Rabba. Oh, Rabba Shanda. Oh, Rabba Sata. Hallelujah. you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We consider it an honor that you spoke to us, God. We consider it an honor, God, that you would give us leading and guidance by your Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of the living God, that you would show up and speak to us today. So we bind the words to our heart, and we will not let them fall to the ground, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, hearts are mended. Lord, we thank you for this time with you this morning. And Father, before we get ready to retire from this sanctuary, Father God, we ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to bless those that are listening. Bless them, anoint them, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Bless them to be delivered at the time that you set forth. Bless them, Father God, to be able to find a place, to be able to go where they can be safe, to be healed and delivered, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask you today to bless the food that they were going to receive for the nourishment of our physical bodies, in the name of Jesus. And bless those that work continuously around the clock to prepare an atmosphere, a receptivity for us here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Bless the administrators. Bless the board, God. Bless them with revelation and wisdom. Wisdom, oh God. Bless them with insight. Insight that is so big that they know it's got to be you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you, God. We give you the glory and all of the honor. In Jesus' name, and every man and woman of God, every child of God, give him a shout. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.